Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Welcome to Spiritual Common Sense. I'm Jocelyn McClung, and this is HealthyLife.net. Well, we're in springtime now, which I'm thrilled about, the time that flowers begin to blossom and the sun returns. However, I want to take a moment here to talk about feminism and hope that it also begins to blossom for all of us to see, especially for women who are over 40 years old, or 50, 60, 70, or even 80 years old. Why are those such horrible numbers? Aren't we supposed to be glad we're alive? But if you're a woman, it feels like a dismissal. Oh, we mattered when we were in our 20s. We were sexually important. We were important in our 30s and 40s to raise the children. But once you hit 50, you have been deemed not mattering, other than to be relegated to grandparent status, assuming you have children. Unfortunately, we still have 30 to 40 years ahead of us, so what the hell does that mean? Are we supposed to be invisible? Or worse yet, to be scrutinized for how we look or how we dress? Not too sexy or hip, after all. We are old and should act like it. And God forbid, please don't appear to be sexual. That is just gross. Oh, Michael Douglas can do it, like he did a few years ago. He's cool. But the news agencies went crazy when Helen Mirren, younger than Douglas, dared to appear in a two-piece swimsuit for a few years ago. A nationwide host had the gall to say, we don't need to see that. Oh, that pissed me off. The advertisers are telling us constantly that now our focus should be on health, for it's surely beginning to fail. All advertising is geared towards us buying the new latest pills, invest in retirement homes, nursing homes, hearing aids, and panic buttons, since we most likely will be living alone. If we fall, we can't get up. And by all means, if you have the money, do something about that old face of yours. Wrinkles on a man give him character. On a woman, as the host so eloquently said, no one wants to see that. Mrs. Clinton was criticized for her hair and dress. Has any other Secretary of State or presidential candidate been raked over the coals for their looks? Jokes about mothers-in-law, little old ladies, and women's bodies are still common fodder. And now it seems if you want to insult someone, accuse them of doing anything like a girl. Screaming, running, hitting, laughing. As if girls don't have their work. Now they need to be ashamed for being and acting like a girl. Why don't they say when they want to insult someone, you're acting like a little boy? Somehow, acting like a little boy is better than acting like a little girl. And yet now it seems grown women prefer to be called girls, as if being called a woman is an insult or makes them feel old. When was the last time you called a grown man a boy and got away with it? Have you forgotten there is power in being a grown woman? And don't get me started on using slang for a woman's vagina as a put-down for being weak or cowardly. This goes beyond double standard. This is demeaning the largest segment of the population. And perhaps that's the point. Keep the 52% in their place so the 48% can stay in power. This reversing of feminism must be stopped. Yet it is subtler and often overlooked, and it makes it no less toxic. When I made my feature film, the majority of my crew were men, some in their mid-30s, and some in their early 20s. I find it interesting that it was the 20-year-old who was handling the slate for the film who wrote on the slate, chick flick, with 3 exclamation points. Wow. busy making a film, being in it, directing it, producing it, so I simply told him to take it off the slate. But here was a 20-year-old who should be much more educated, who was getting paid by a woman, making fun of the film because it had women leads. We must not be afraid to be in our power, to be adults, and demand that we not be degenerated by thoughtless, mean-spirited, narrow views of what it is to be a woman. I'm no interest in being a girl. It was hard enough the first time around, and I'm proud to have made it to womanhood. And as for my future years, I hope to inspire girls and young women to let them know they only get better with age, and that growing older is a blessing filled with more delight, surprises, and creativity than ever experienced in the previous stages of life. If I hear no young person say, "Man, I hope I die before I get old," then I will know we are on the right track. Okay, now, in today's podcast, I'm going to explain why an optimistic attitude is an inspiration. And in the homework segment, I'm going to give you tips on how to regain your optimistic attitude. Since our life is determined by our attitudes rather than by our circumstances, having an optimistic attitude is vitally important in creating a beautiful, joyful, exciting life. But first, we are going to have a fun interview today. Maybe you believe in psychic readings, or maybe you think they're a big old scam. Hopefully our next guest may change your mind. We're going to be speaking with Dan Bartlett. I'm sorry, I got something caught in my throat. We're going to be speaking with Dan Bartlett, a.k.a. Dr. Dan. Dr. Dan is a certified metaphysical practitioner with over 30 years of experience, empowering audiences to gain insight, clarity, and direction in their lives. Sorry about that. He will reveal how to develop natural intuitive abilities to improve relationships, overcome challenges, and unlock personal potential. Dr. Dan teaches people how to tap into their innate intuition to improve decision-making. He is the author of 6 Easy Steps to Psychic Success. Welcome, Dan.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Oh, I'm so glad to be talking with you. I'm going to start out the interview the way I start all interviews. Where were you born, and what did you hope of becoming when you grew up?
I was born in Whittier, California.
And what did you hope of being when you grew up?
Pardon me?
What did you hope to become when you grew up? You can't remember, that's all right. Don't worry about it. What were your parents like when you were growing up?
Well, I had great parents.
What did you learn from them?
From my father, I learned that work is important, and from my mother, I learned that integrity was important.
Also, your mother taught you about integrity, and your father taught you about work. What did your mother say about integrity?
She taught me to always be honest with myself and to have a standard of ethics, the way that I treat people and things like that.
Well, she sounds quite marvelous. I think that's a good lesson for all of us. Well, were people in your family also psychic? None of them, huh? Okay, not even a grandparent, or nobody was psychic except for you. Okay. Well, what was your first psychic experience?
Not that I know of. Passing interest in astrology and things like that, but she never really set me down and taught me anything. It wasn't until I was 13 years old when I had an experience with a
Sarah?
Carnival fortune teller. That that changed the way I thought and felt about what I wanted to be and do as I was growing up.
And that was with Sarah?
Pardon me?
That was with Sarah?
Yes, yes.
So something she did awakened in you the desire to become psychic?
Well, what I found out was that being psychic is a process, and it's something that anybody can learn to do and to be.
So you were not psychic before you met Sarah, but you taught yourself how to awaken your psychic ability. Is that true?
That's correct.
And how old were you when you started to awaken your psychic ability?
Pardon me?
How old were you when you began to awaken your psychic ability?
When I was 13 years old. Sarah gave me some very in-depth training and lessons. And I didn't at the time, I didn't realize how important the information she was sharing with me was until I actually got older and actually started giving readings and applying the things that I had been taught and that I was teaching myself through books and things like that.
Well, I think you spent the summer with her, so I think you probably learned a heck of a lot from Sarah. Now, you know, she taught you a bunch of different ways to awaken your psychic ability. So you see psychic ability is not as a gift, but something that we all have the ability to do.
That's correct. I'm sure there are people who have innate psychic abilities that they've inherited through a parent or a grandparent. But what I've found is that an intuitive approach to giving advice and helping people is a learned ability, and it's a process that you know we use with our oracles or tools that we use when we do readings.
Now, intuitive is a different way than somebody who does cold readings on somebody, where they just look at their clothes, pick up little tips of what they need to hear. That cold readings, a lot of people do cold readings, and that's not psychic. But intuitive is psychic, correct?
Yes.
Well, when did you become public with your psychic abilities?
Actually, I started kind of late in life. when I was first introduced to all this by Sarah O'Hara, when I was 13, I wanted to be a carnival fortune teller, and I was quickly discouraged from doing that from my parents. I was told that getting an education and going to school and getting a career and things like that, that's where my goals should be pointed, and not to be a carnival fortune teller. So I really didn't follow through with what I thought I wanted to be, have, and do. So, I kind of set that all on a side, and I went to school. After I graduated from high school, I joined the Army, and I spent 11 years in the Army, and I had all those experiences. But my interest in the psychic sciences and magic and mentalism and things like that never was far away from who I was, because I always kept that interest. It was always part of what I wanted to do. So when I got out of the Army in 1978, that's when I actually began in earnest to be a person who gives readings and performs magic and things like that. And
well, magic's different than readings, though. Magic is, that's a different thing than readings. Readings takes an intuitive ability to live. Is that what led you to go to the metaphysical school that you attended?
Yes. My interest in metaphysics, and the psychic sciences is what drove me or guided me to the University of Metaphysics, which I attended. And during the time I was attending the University of Metaphysics, I also attended the University of Sedona, where I furthered my learning and becoming a doctor of metaphysical science.
Well, I think that's very cool. Now, what drew you to work with the Akashic Records? And can you describe Akashic Records for people?
Can you say that again?
What made you work with the Akashic Records? What drew you to do that?
The Akashic Records, that was a kind of an elective that I was able to take. What I found out was that within the confines of the makeup of the universe, there is a like a library, for lack of a better description, of every person who has ever lived, every thought that they have ever thought, every action that they've taken is recorded or stored in this universal library. And when I found that out, I wanted to learn how to access that information. And that's what mm-hmm. led me to learning about the Akashic Records.
Well, I love the idea of looking into the Akashic Record. I think it holds everything we've ever done in it. So you wrote your book. On the cover of the book, it says, the myth that most people believe in order to give intuitive readings, you have to be born with a gift. But you say being able to give an intuitive reading is a learned ability. So you learned how to do this by working with Sarah, obviously going to the Metaphysical University, doing your homework, learning about different things. How do you describe a psychic reading versus somebody who does cold readings of people who just looks at clothes and tells them what they want to hear? What do you have to describe a psychic reading?
I started giving readings in 1980 or so. I at the time I lived in Federal Way, Washington, and I owned a magic shop on Puget Sound there near Seattle. And my shop, my store, I didn't sell tricks like pulling rabbits out of hats. That's not the kind of magic that I was doing.
How do you describe a psychic reading? We've got 1 minute till commercial.
I was more into doing mentalism and things like that, and that's when I actually started giving readings at my magic shop there.
Oh, so okay. So you had a magic shop, and then when you started doing, begin to give readings, that's when the psychic readings begin to happen. That's pretty fascinating, Dan. We are speaking with Dr. Dan Bartlett, a.k.a. Dr. Dan, who wrote the book Six Easy Secrets to Psychic Success. When we come back, I'm going to ask him a few questions about his book and maybe even get a quick reading from him. We'll see how that goes, Dr. Dan. I'm Joffrey McClung. This is Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net.
MySpiritualCommonSense.com is Joffrey McClung's website, where you can find a plethora of information to help you put some common sense into your spiritual conversations. Not only will you find out more about Joffrey, but you can read her blog and watch her one-minute weekly videos highlighting tips on how to stay conscious and keep growing. You can even get a free affirmations booklet if you join Joffrey's mailing list. So remember to visit MySpiritualCommonSense.com. That's MySpiritualCommonSense.com.
Reach your health and fitness goals. Whether you want to lose weight, learn to dance, build muscle, or just live healthy, Beachbody gives you unlimited access to the nation's most popular fitness and weight loss solutions. Visit our advertiser page and click on Beachbody now.
Self-love is one of the most important love relationships you can have. We are all searching for more love in our life, and it really starts with you. Now there's a guide and workbook that gives you life-changing and powerful insights to help you through an enlightening self-discovery process to self-love, and you can get it on Amazon.com. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love by Joffrey McClung. Get it today. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love on Amazon.com.
If you're looking for unique items at affordable prices, then you should try Dream Product. From apparel to beauty, from shoes to therapeutic relief products, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Dream Products, and maybe your dreams might just come into reality.
If you want a master class on how loss can become your greatest teacher, then get the book How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live by Joffrey McClung. Following a period of loss through Joffrey's life, you'll discover how she overcame challenges to find the many gifts that helped her transcend to her authentic self. Get How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live at Amazon.com. Take Joffrey's lessons to help you overcome your grief and loss. How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live on Amazon.com.
No matter what is happening on the outside, to make a difference, work on the inside. You are part of the fabric of life. Have a positive impact on yourself and others. Take a break from the dark side. Listen to the positive side of podcasts. HRNradio.com.
Welcome to Spiritual Common Sense. I'm Joffrey McClung, and this is HealthyLife.net. We are speaking with Dr. Dan Bartlett, a.k.a. Dr. Dan, who wrote the book Six Easy Secrets to Psychic Success. All right, in your book, what is secret number one in your book?
Pardon me?
What's secret number one in your book?
Oh.
Dan, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, well, let's just move on. Why is imagination so important to your intuitive gifts? Dan?
Hello?
Yes, why is imagination so important to your intuitive gifts?
Well, because it helps you with your with your development, with what you want to help people with.
Oh, okay. If there's one thing in the book that you want people to use to bump up their innate intuitive ability, what would you say it should be?
Dan? I'm sorry, am I having difficulty hearing you?
What is the most important thing people can do to improve their intuitive ability?
Practice. Once a person learns how to do a basic reading, then the more you give readings, the better you become at it. Intuition is like any other part of the body, a muscle or whatever. The more you use it, the better you get at it. Giving readings is a skill that can be learned through practice.
All right, well, since you like to give readings, can you do a quick reading on me?
Sure, I'd love to.
Let's go with finances. Well, is my finances going to improve?
Can you repeat that, please?
Are my finances going to improve? Hello?
Okay, I'm just a moment here.
Dan is thinking of reading me.
The first indication I get is that you would like a yes.
Well, I think everybody on the planet would like a yes, Dan.
I don't think you're far wrong on that. You're not at fault concerning the circumstances you're asking about. There's some soul searching that needs to be done on your part as far as the direction that you want to take or information you want to gather that would help you in your pursuit.
Well, that makes sense, because I am looking at my negative beliefs that need to be changed.
In the situations you're asking about, you already kind of know the answer, but you must determine if you should go forward in certain directions in order to earn more or bring more in. There are other avenues that are at your disposal. The first indication that I'm getting is that if you follow your heart and follow through with what you've been thinking about, it would be the correct thing to do.
Oh, that's lovely. That's a lovely thing to say. Okay, that answers one question that I had in my heart. Thank you for that information, Dan. Now, if people get your book, which is 6 Easy Secrets to Psychic Success, what do you hope they get out of reading the book, Dan?
Can you say that again, please?
If people get your book, 6 Easy Secrets to Psychic Success, what do you hope they get out of reading your book?
The main message of the book is to, I'm thinking that the person who would purchase this book or want to read it would have at least a general interest in wanting to learn how to give readings, either to make extra money or just for the fun of it. So if you have that basic interest, then what you'll get out of the book is the six secrets are actually six steps that you could take, that a person can take to become successful in the early stages of giving readings. So if a person wants to make extra money, for example, one of the steps that I explain is how to begin giving readings to help people to charge a small fee to make extra money. If a person feels that, well, I was not born with a psychic gift, I don't even know if I am psychic, then that's the kind of person that would gain a lot of information from the book, because
yes, your book hits it all. Your book hits palm readings. You hit it all in your book. It's a good book. If anybody's interested in opening up to their psychic abilities or understanding how to do a reading or whatnot, it's an easy book to read. It's a quick book to read. Dan hits everything that you might want to hit on. I think if you're interested in that, it'd be a good book to read. Dan, where can people follow you and get the book?
The book's available on Amazon. Just go to Amazon and do a search for Six Easy Secrets, and the book will come up.
All right. And can people follow you anywhere?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay, well, we've been speaking with Dan Bartlett, a.k.a. Dr. Dan, who wrote the book Six Easy Secrets to Psychic Success. I'm Jocelyn McClellan, and this is Spiritual Common Sense.
Self-love is one of the most important love relationships you can have. We are all searching for more love in our life, and it really starts with you. Now there's a guide and workbook that gives you life-changing and powerful insights to help you through an enlightening self-discovery process to self-love, and you can get it on Amazon.com. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love by Geoffrey McClung. Get it today. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love on Amazon.com.
For the best in business class travel, count on Cheapo Air. Cheapo Air has the best price guarantee, 24/7 customer service, and easy booking online or by phone. To experience your hassle-free journey, start by going to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Cheapo Air.
If you want a master class on how loss can become your greatest teacher, then get the book How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live by Geoffrey McClung. Following a period of loss through Geoffrey's life, you'll discover how she overcame challenges to find the many gifts that helped her transcend to her authentic self. Get How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live at Amazon.com. Take Geoffrey's lessons to help you overcome your grief and loss. How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live on Amazon.com.
Discover the world's largest anti-aging organization, Life Extension. For the best information, vitamins, and supplements, you just can't beat Life Extension. To start extending your life, go to the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the Life Extension banner.
MySpiritualCommonSense.com is Geoffrey McClung's website, where you can find a plethora of information to help you put some common sense into your spiritual conversations. Not only will you find out more about Geoffrey, but you can read her blog and watch her one-minute weekly videos highlighting tips on how to stay conscious and keep growing. You can even get a free affirmations booklet if you join Geoffrey's mailing list. So remember to visit MySpiritualCommonSense.com. That's MySpiritualCommonSense.com.
Uplifting talk. HealthyLife.net.
Hi, I'm Dr. McClung, and this is Spiritual Common Sense. This month's inspiration is an optimistic attitude. Optimism is described in the dictionary as hopefulness and confidence about the future or the successful outcome of something. To have an optimistic attitude means that it's how you move through the world with hope and confidence in your future. I think having an optimistic attitude is vitally important for everyone on this planet, especially during these particular times. To have hope about your future and confidence that you can create this future is something that I'm working on myself. I do know that having an optimistic attitude does several things for us. Number one, better mental and physical health. Number two, greater achievement. Number three, persistence. Number four, less stress. And number five, reduced risk of heart disease. So, here's a short story I found online that beautifully highlights the importance of having an optimistic attitude. It's a story of two shoe salesmen. At the beginning of the 20th century, there was a successful American shoe manufacturing company that manufactured and sold shoes. Due to market changes, the sales of the company went down sharply. The management was concerned about the decline in the company's product sales in America. A board meeting was called upon to discuss the issue. In the board meeting, a new business strategy emerged to explore and open new markets abroad. It was decided to send two salesmen to Africa to determine the market potential for their products. The sales director called his top two salesmen and proposed that they travel to Africa and assess the market there to increase their sales. Both salesmen left by boat for Africa with instructions to make the first survey of the market. Each of them would go to a different country to have two opinions about the potential African market. Within a month of arriving, the first salesman completed a basic survey of the target market and called his sales director. He informed him that after several days of visiting cities, he concluded that the African potential for shoe sales was null. The first salesman said, "Boss, there's bad news here. They all go barefoot. No one here wears any shoes. There's no market for us here. We're not going to be able to sell a single pair of shoes." The salesman was sounding very dejected and disheartened. After a couple of days, the second salesman called back to the sales director. He was extremely excited and said, "Boss, good news. It's a fantastic place and a great business opportunity for us. No one here wears shoes. No one sells shoes. There's a huge potential market for us here. We're going to sell thousands of pairs. All we need to do is educate them on the benefits and the importance of wearing shoes." This inspiring short story highlights the importance of attitude in our lives. Why do some people get what they want while others do not? An optimistic attitude makes you see opportunities in all the difficulties that life holds around you. Or a pessimistic attitude makes you see difficulties in all the new opportunities that life holds for you. There's also a famous Henry Ford quote that emphasizes how much attitude determines success or failure, and it goes like this: whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. Now, I in general have been fairly optimistic most of my life. This changed during my grieving period during the 8 years that I buried three different people. I was not optimistic at all. I had no faith that my future would bring anything but dismay. I'd become pessimistic. Being pessimistic means you tend to see the worst aspects of things and believe the worst will happen. I lost the closest people to me. I was back in a state that I never thought I would return to, and I had no dreams. I was definitely pessimistic. People who are pessimistic tend to suffer from anxiety, depression, sleep disorders, hostility, high blood pressure, and heart disease. Now, here's a few examples of being pessimistic. See if you're one of these. Saying the glass is half empty. Exaggerating the negative consequences of something. Believing that you are powerless to change your circumstances. Believing that you're terrible at something and will never improve. Staying at a job you don't like because you're sure you cannot find another one. I definitely had the feeling that I was powerless to change my circumstances. All of this changed when I heard that very quiet, gentle nudge to write about what I had gone through. I could have ignored the nudge and stayed pessimistic, but I did not. Perhaps it was the slight bit of optimism that was still within my heart that listened to that and began to write. Writing reawakened my creativity and began to lift my optimism to the surface once again. I actually began to feel alive again and began to have ideas of what my future could look like. I began to have hope, something I was in desperate need of. Optimism is a positive outlook and a belief that good things will happen. Here are a few signs that someone is optimistic. Expecting the best. Believing that you can succeed in the face of challenges. Looking for opportunities. Seeing obstacles as a chance to learn. In other words, not seeing mistakes as failures. Being grateful. Feeling thankful for the good things in your life. Taking responsibility, accepting your mistakes, but not dwelling on them. Maintaining hope, believing that you will prevail despite current reality. Taking action, in other words, taking steps to ensure positive outcomes in the future. Forgiving, forgiving others, and I will include yourself, and moving on. Having a positive attitude about yourself and others. And lastly, using positive mantras or affirmations. We all need hope. We all need to have confidence in our future. We need not to beat ourselves up for our mistakes, but realize we're simply learning. We all need to be grateful for the good things in our lives. And we need to take responsibility for what we create in our lives, not by beating ourselves up, but by learning from them. We need to have confidence to take steps towards our dreams to create our future. And we all need to practice forgiveness because nobody is perfect. We're all going to make mistakes, but forgiveness is the way to move forward. And we all need to have a positive attitude about ourselves and people around us. And that is why this month's inspiration is an optimistic attitude. Because I believe it's the quickest way to change our lives. This is Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net.
If you want a master class on how laws can become your greatest teacher, then get the book How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live by Joffrey McClung. Following a period of loss through Joffrey's life, you'll discover how she overcame challenges to find the many gifts that helped her transcend to her authentic self. Get How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live at Amazon.com. Take Joffrey's lessons to help you overcome your grief and loss. How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live on Amazon.com.
If you want USA and worldwide car rentals, choose rentacar.com. Free cancellations on most bookings, no hidden charges. They are trusted by over 4 million customers. Visit our advertiser page and click on the Rent-A-Car banner.
Self-love is one of the most important love relationships you can have. We are all searching for more love in our life, and it really starts with you. Now there's a guide and workbook that gives you life-changing and powerful insights to help you through an enlightening self-discovery process to self-love, and you can get it on Amazon.com. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love by Joffrey McClung. Get it today. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love on Amazon.com.
If you're not in the U.S., listen up. SureTrader is one of the most trusted and reliable names in share trading. With 6-to-1 leverage and other perks, SureTrade is the best for penny stocks and day trades. To find out more, visit our advertiser page and click on the SureTrader banner.
MySpiritualCommonSense.com is Joffrey McClung's website, where you can find a plethora of information to help you put some common sense into your spiritual conversations. Not only will you find out more about Joffrey, but you can read her blog and watch her one-minute weekly videos highlighting tips on how to stay conscious and keep growing. You can even get a free affirmations booklet if you join Joffrey's mailing list. So remember to visit MySpiritualCommonSense.com. That's MySpiritualCommonSense.com.
You're listening to CHSR Real Radio on the web.
Hi, I'm Jonathan McClung, and this is Spiritual Common Sense. So this month's spiritual homework is to bump up your optimistic attitude. Now, maybe your attitude is quite optimistic at this point, so keep riding the wave. However, for many people on this planet, their optimistic attitude has shrunk a bit. if not completely dissipated. That is the tendency when dealing with bullies. We lose our optimistic attitude. Well, I want you to bump it up big time. I want you to wallow in it, roll over in it, cover your head with it. I want your optimistic attitude to blow your socks off. Now, when we were children, assuming we were not living in a violent situation, we all had an optimistic attitude. We believed our future would be quite grand and magnificent. Hope was running through our veins nonstop. However, as we grew up, many of us began to lose our optimistic attitude. We got knocked down one too many times. We lost the things we loved dearly. We saw our dreams disappear before our eyes. We became realistic. Being realistic means you see the world as a place to fight your way through to get just a piece of what you want. Maybe we held on to it a bit of optimism for our children, but we became much more pessimistic about ourselves. Well, you can't teach your children to be different than you. They're going to watch exactly what you're doing and copy it. So, here's a short story that will show you why it's important for you to have a positive attitude and to show your kids a positive attitude as well. A young girl named Maya lived in a small village nestled among the towering mountains. She was known for her bright smiles and unyielding optimism, even when she faced life's challenges. One day, as the moon's monsoon clouds gathered, she decided to fly her colorful flight, a vibrant symbol of hope she made herself. As she ran across the open field, the wind caught the kite, lifting it high into the sky. She watched it dance gracefully, its colors splash against the gray clouds. But suddenly, a gust of wind, stronger than the others, ripped through the air, snapping the kite string and sending her beloved creation plummeting towards the ground. Maya watched in dismay as her kite landed in a tangle of thorny bushes. Its once proud colors are now faded and torn. Most children would have cried, but Maya simply walked toward the wreckage with a determined look. She carefully picked up the kite, examining the damage. The frame was bent, the paper was ripped, and the string was frayed. This is beyond repair, the thought in her head said, but Maya shook it off. She gathered the broken pieces, took a deep breath, and started to work. She straightened the frame, patched the tears in the paper with bits of cloth, and tied a new string. It wasn't perfect, but it was a kite once more. As the rain subsided and the sun peeked through the clouds, Maya returned to the field. She held up her repaired kite high, and with a gentle tug, it soared into the sky. It didn't fly as high or as gracefully as before, but it flew nonetheless. Maya smiled, her heart full. She understood that even when things seemed broken, with a little effort and a positive outlook, you could still find a way to make them fly again. This story highlights the power of optimism, showing that even when you face challenges, a positive attitude can help us overcome them and find hope in the most unexpected ways. So, how do we gain an optimistic attitude? Here's some tips. Keep a gratitude journal. Keeping a gratitude journal will lift your spirits and your mood. Think about your hopes for the future. In other words, daydream like you did when you were a kid. I don't know why many of us quit daydreaming as adults. Perhaps we start making plans for what steps we need to take. But very few of us daydream about what we wish to happen. Daydreaming is one of the quickest ways to get out of your head and allow your heart to guide you. Then once you're through daydreaming, let it go. Do not hold on to how it's supposed to happen. Just hold on to the feelings of how it felt when it did happen. Try seeing the positive side of things. This is easy to do when things are right, but much harder to do when things are not. If you have a car accident, rather than seeing the negative side and complaining and doing all of that, go to the positive side, that no one died, and that you're alive and breathing. How we choose to see what happens in our lives determines what we experience in our lives. So always look for the positive outcomes in anything in your life. And then believe you have the ability to make good things happen. This is where faith comes into play. You must have faith that you have the ability to make things happen. In other words, you must have faith that you have everything you need inside of you to create a joyful, happy life. You were not just thrown down on this planet with no inkling of how to move through it with elegance and grace. We've just forgotten this fact by taking on other people's beliefs. You truly do have everything you need inside of you to create a joyful life. But in truth, we just need to remember that we do have everything we need. And once you remember that, you will have faith that you can make good things happen in your life, because that's how much the universe loves you. Now, I've been listening to Bashar on YouTube recently, and one of his most famous sayings is, "It's not about your circumstances, it's about your state of being." Now, what Bashar means about this is that everything that comes into your life, you can decide is against you or for you. If you feel like it's against you, it will take you down. But if you feel like everything that happens in your life is in your favor or on your side, you will look at all things happening in your life as a whisper of what needs fixing in order to move forward to your heart's desire. Maybe what happens in your life is a sign that perhaps there's a negative belief that needs to be changed. Perhaps you need to bump up your feelings of being worthy. Maybe you need to believe that you are valued and matter. Or maybe you need to believe that your loving and how you uniquely express it is more than good enough. If you are lovable, loving, and loved, then you truly do have everything you need inside of you. And therefore, anything that happens in your life is on your side. And if anything in your life is, if anything that happens in your life is on your side, that should make you much more optimistic. Because that is how much you are loved by the universe. That's why this month's homework is to bump up your optimistic attitude. And to have faith that you do have everything you need to become more optimistic. I'm Jacqueline McClung. This is Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net.
Self-love is one of the most important love relationships you can have. We are all searching for more love in our life, and it really starts with you. Now there's a guide and workbook that gives you life-changing and powerful insights to help you through an enlightening self-discovery process to self-love, and you can get it on Amazon.com. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love by Geoffrey McClung. Get it today. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love on Amazon.com.
Roku is like having your own video library with over 300,000 choices. And it's the best way to get Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, and so much more. There's a Roku player for every budget, so go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on the Roku banner.
If you want a master class on how loss can become your greatest teacher, then get the book How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live by Geoffrey McClung. Following a period of loss through Geoffrey's life, you'll discover how she overcame challenges to find the many gifts that helped her transcend to her authentic self. Get How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live at Amazon.com. Take Geoffrey's lessons to help you overcome your grief and loss. How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live on Amazon.com.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
MySpiritualCommonSense.com is Geoffrey McClung's website, where you can find a plethora of information to help you put some common sense into your spiritual conversations. Not only will you find out more about Geoffrey, but you can read her blog and watch her one-minute weekly videos highlighting tips on how to stay conscious and keep growing. You can even get a free affirmations booklet if you join Geoffrey's mailing list. So remember to visit MySpiritualCommonSense.com. That's MySpiritualCommonSense.com.
Eclectic talk with a positive twist. HealthyLife.net.
Thanks for joining me. I hope you got some inspiration, some information, and some spiritual homework that will move you forward. And please follow me on Facebook or Instagram. Also, check out my website at myspiritualcommonsense.com. I have great blogs there, and you can read a little bit about my books on my website. I hope I've left you with some things that no longer serve you and picked up some things that celebrate you and who you are becoming. And remember, you are glorious, magnificent, and stunning in the universe's eyes, and have always been and will always be lovable, loving, and loved. Until next time, be the light the world needs and have love for all. This is Joffrey McClung for Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net. Have a joyful, loving, self-loving life.